Welcome to the Cosmic Business Podcast. I'm Paula Crossfield, a Vedic astrologer, business coach, and CEO of Weave Your Bliss, a company with the goal to help a million spirit-led entrepreneurs build a cosmic business around their genius so that they can earn wildly well and bankroll the change they want to see in the world. A cosmic business is a new paradigm business that believes in collaboration over competition, building a business around your unique genius, aligning to the planets and your intuition, leading with your values, putting your health and the health of the planet first, treating people fairly, and building giving into your business model. Sounds fabulous, right? On this show, I will take you behind the scenes of my thriving multi-six-figure business, including strategy on closing more sales, nurturing your community online, plus astrological insights to optimize your business and life. We'll also feature conversations with spirit-led business owners, creatives, and changemakers to inspire you. I'm coming to you from our regenerative farm in rural Maine, my happy place, where we are currently creating space to welcome community for retreat and earth reconnection. Let's jump into the conversation. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. We have a rerun episode of my conversation with Michael Graham, who's a former client and the owner and founder of Satsang Van Works. And the reason I'm choosing this conversation is because I think it's a really good example of how you can go from feeling burned out and not really enthusiastic about this business that you built and actually implementing systems and mindset shifts that will make it feel like you love your business again. And that's exactly what we talk about in this episode, including how to be in your zone of genius. And we explain what that is here. Okay, so before we jump in, I do want to say that if you are a conscious business owner looking to get more clients, to build a business that's aligned with your purpose and values, all while honoring your health, so maybe you haven't gotten to the income level you want yet, or things just have felt harder than they need to be. So if that's you, be sure to check out the Cosmic Business Lab, my year-long program with monthly live calls for strategy, networking, and getting it done support, plus guest speakers and access to all my courses and tools to support you to grow a wildly successful business. The link to join and learn more is in the show notes. That's the Cosmic Business Lab. The link, again, is in the show notes. Okay, so without further ado, this is my interview with Michael Graham, who is the owner and founder of Satsang Van Works, and he uses his skill set as a high-caliber woodworker for the last 2+ decades to bring vibrancy and true craftsmanship into the luxury van building industry. Following the growing demand, Michael has worked to expand his company, creating a space for van conversions and CNC milling alike. So I hope you enjoy this episode with my former client, Michael Graham.
Hello, Michael. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. This is my first podcast.
Oh, your first podcast ever.
First podcast ever.
That's great. Well, I'm excited to be the first. What I usually like to do is to talk to people about their journey. And you have such an interesting job in the world, right? You're helping people build out custom vans. And it's a dream of a lot of people. They really want to have this like bespoke, cool, you know, van that they can live in. So how did you get here? What was that journey like?
Like you said, it's been pretty unique. I knew really early on, I guess, what I didn't want to do, more so than what I wanted to do. And that geared me pretty clearly in a certain direction. I've always been working with my hands, and I built like my first piece of furniture when I was 12 or 13 with my dad and my uncle, and really just started there. I've always been working in the trades, more specifically with custom carpentry. Built custom homes for a long time and then got into the tiny home building. So built probably, I'd say 80 to 100 different tiny homes on different trailers and watched them drive out the driveway and got behind the really just different ways of being in a creative process other than a massive, massive mansion, you know, somewhere with lots of wasted materials and taking up lots of space. And honestly, the vans was a friend of mine asked me to build a van for him so that he could go snowboarding in it. So we did that together on the weekends and put up a Craigslist ad. And I was booked out for about 18 months and 6 weeks. So there's this big wave of van life that came, you know, 5-6 years ago. And it just so happens I was on the crest of it right as it started. And have been doing it ever since.
Yeah. And so when I first met you, because we worked together, you told me that it was really important to you to help people kind of get out of this like mortgage trap and like try to do something different and maybe even, you know, be able to move around and have more freedom. So that really became an inspiration for you in this whole process, right?
For sure. I think it paralleled my ability to have more flexibility in the creative process also. So the offering of giving people a way out was also me giving myself a way out of the way that a typical person who works with their hands moves in the world. You know, they clock in, clock out, and are very limited by what they're working on, by what they're making, and by who they're working with. I gave myself the opportunity by working on Vans to give myself more freedom in the creative process, change more what I was making, and the projects are pretty quick turnover. So, you know, I can do a van in about 6 weeks now, and therefore I'm working with lots of different people. So really the freedom I'm offering them was one that I found for myself as a business owner also, which was really great. So it was a mutual respect there for sure.
Yeah, I love that. And also we've talked a lot about kind of running a business from a spiritual place and having, you know, that kind of perspective as you're working. And so maybe you can talk a little bit about that. I mean, the name of your business is Satsang. So talk about what that means to you and like the foundations of your values as a business owner.
Yeah, man, that changes so often and has changed so much since I started. There were lots of different ways that I would define that a long time ago, you know, five, it feels like lifetimes ago when I started this. But the simplest way I think that I could say, and I was actually thinking of this today, is that my business is an extension of my own well-being. And I find that to be like a really simple and practical way to approach it. Because if it's an extension, and it had been at some point, it was an extension of my desperation or an extension of grasping at attempting to find, you know, something in the world. But it wasn't that long ago when I felt like the switch really flipped and it became an extension of my own peace. And that offering is something that's actually being given to other people. And before that, I could tell that when clients would come back or if certain projects wouldn't work out in a certain way, there was still a tie to it that was within me. It wasn't anything that had to do with the client. I mean, we've spoken about this so much in the coaching that the extension of myself into my business is how I attracted the clients, what my offering was to them, and being very grateful in that I've recognized that. Like you can recognize that your business is an extension of your own well-being and therefore it's something you can offer to people. And the quality of the offering and has just exponentially gone up, you know, since I recognized that, which feels great. Walk out of the shop every day and to know what I'm offering to people and what they're getting and the exchanges I have with the clients and what they're left with. It's just all positive, good things. So that is always, that feels great.
And Satsang is like sacred community. That's what it means in Sanskrit. So tell us about the origin of that name.
Yeah. The deepest learning I've had in my life has been from my teacher offering Satsang. And it's just something that it was sort of like the very first seed that I planted with my business and ensuring that I would bring my full self to it, that it wasn't something I was keeping separate. And just having that name as a recognition really for myself of what I was doing and the reasons I was doing it. Again, even though it was planted years ago, it feels like it's beginning to come to fruition much strongly very recently, which I'm grateful for. And it's great too, because it's a great icebreaker, as I struggle sometimes with the fact that most people don't know what that word means. So it's mispronounced often, and it's, you know, one of the first questions that they ask. And I struggled with that for a while, but really it's an amazing icebreaker for them to get to know me, to get to know what the orientation of the shop is like. I had some interviews with new employees recently, and for them to ask, you know, what's that name? What's that word actually mean? Creates a culture really quickly. So I've used that as a more of an opportunity recently, which I've really appreciated. And it hasn't been, like I said, it's a great icebreaker, you know, for people who I potentially could do work with or could work for, or they could work for me. So I appreciated that.
Yeah. And so maybe you can talk a little bit about, you know, we started working together last summer, and at that point you were just kind of burned out. I think, would you describe yourself as that? Like you were kind of like, how can I keep doing this? You know, and I have a lot of people come to me at that point where they're at a breaking point. It's like, I can't keep doing things this way. And it doesn't seem like the business is enjoyable. So I think it would be really expansive for other people to hear how you worked through that. Like, yeah. What was that process like for you?
Yep. So something that you told me, which is, again, a book I still haven't read, but something that you you mentioned to me multiple times, is that there are certain levels of our offering in which we can get stuck, right? There's level of competence, level of excellence, level of genius. And the ones that we're most used to doing, for me, I'll speak solely for myself, the ones I was most used to doing were the ones I was least willing to give up. Right? Because there was a safety and security in myself and being able to accomplish those things. But I really found, if I really looked at the way that my normal day would go, I could see that I was in between two worlds, one of being a technician and one of being a business owner. And I was holding on to the notion of being a technician, like of me working with my own two hands, which there's nothing wrong with, but it was delaying me becoming a full-blown business owner. It was delaying moving into that role all the way. Having that recognition immediately opened up the space in the shop for people to come in to fill the space that I had left by then taking on the more important roles. Sales went up immediately. Quality of work went up. Everything really cleared up around me clearing up the role that I had in the business. And because I was trying to do both things, you know, like I had one foot in the water, one out, so to speak. That's why I was burnt. I was just completely toast. And it was just a labor. There was no longer a labor of love at all. It was just labor of just getting it done and trying to get it done as quick as I could because I had too much on my plate. Trusting in what you do best has been a day-to-day lesson, and trusting that the fruits will come for you doing the things that are easiest for you. Because that's another thing that was difficult, was to actually trust in what's most natural for myself. I could view the things that were most natural and think that because they were easy, they didn't hold as much value. The things that I efforted more to do, for whatever reason, I was wired to think there was more value in that, and there's not. So bringing the most value to my own business and doing what I do best and what comes easiest to me.
And the book he's referring to for anyone listening is Gay Hendricks, The Big Leap. So I highly recommend it to pretty much every client because it just has this real clarity around stepping into your zone of genius, which is that place that you're describing where things feel easeful. You're not alone. Like, so many people have to rewire this. So thank you for sharing your experience, because I think our society, the way that we've been programmed, is that things have to be hard and that we have to work hard. And on some level, you do have to create the structures. And sometimes that takes some time. But essentially, what you're describing is that we can be supported and we can ask for support. We don't have to do it all ourselves. And that's actually a hindrance to us being the most effective in our business with our clients, right? If we're trying to do it all, then we're actually not delivering the best product.
Right. The other thing about that that was made very clear in working together is that there's a difference between things being hard and things requiring effort. Like, it's a subtle thing, but I don't get tired if I'm doing things that are hard, if they're still the right things to do. If I'm doing things that require a lot of effort, I get tired. You know, and that's typically when I can find myself being like, okay, you're spending too much energy here. You know, there's a way where it's much less effort, even if it's difficult or doing all the numbers and getting all my estimates together in the right way, like working, doing all the Saturn things, as you say. Like, that was hard for me to do that because it's not something I'm wired to do, but the benefit of it is very obvious, and it never burnt me out in doing that. It ended up always being an empowering thing on the other side of doing it.
That's so important for people to hear, because we avoid those Saturn tasks. Like, to the end of time, we will just continue to try to avoid them. But it's like in a dream when you're running away from the monster, you know, you're supposed to just like turn around and look at the monster. It's the same kind of thing. Like, if you sit down and you just literally put your effort into doing it, on the other side, you feel empowered, you feel clear, totally. You know what you need to do. Like, wouldn't you say?
100%. Yeah, 100%. Even today, something as simple as, I mean, it's taken me multiple months to do it, but I finally have this system now where if a potential client calls me, in real time on the phone, I can generate an estimate and an invoice and send it to them by the end of the phone call. And it's so profound to be able to, when the phone call hangs up, my mental energy is done with them. They say yes or no, and then I can just leave it. No more the simplicity of, you know, building on that foundation, right? The tasks become much more simple then. And then I don't get so engrossed in it because it takes so long. So then I'm not as disappointed if there's a no. And I'm not as like, wow, if there's a yes, because it's like, oh, that's just another tick. That's like another part of the process now that you just generate that very simple communication with potential clients. And the turnover is much more because the task is simple.
I think this is a really important point because I think a lot of us identify with our business. Like when somebody says no, we think it's about us and not about what we're selling, right? And we have to be the best advocates for the business. We're CEOs, you know, so the invitation is to really step into that leadership role and say, what is best for the business? Sometimes what's best for the business is a system. Sometimes it's actually our health and prioritizing time away from the business, you know? So if we start to think that way, it actually empowers us to make really key decisions like this that sort of take our, like, take it personal out of that, like take the personal piece out of it.
Totally. I found so much freedom in the automation of a lot of the processes that I used to do by hand for that like exact reason. It's like, I don't necessarily, like the invoices I sent out today, I didn't necessarily even see what the totals were. I knew what the scope of work was, but it was just sent, you know, it's just sent out. Where in the past, if I didn't have the infrastructure of what I was charging and the confidence in what I was doing and knowing exactly what they were, I would get so wrapped up in my head around what it was that I was sending. Is this too much? Is this not enough? And that is really what then created a disappointment. It's like when I got my head so wrapped around it and I put too much energy into it, into something that I shouldn't be spending my time doing, the disappointment was higher and the elation of getting it were higher.
Right. The stakes were higher.
Exactly. 100%. In automating a lot of those things, and like you're saying, the Saturn things, it creates a confidence that if it's simple enough to send out and simple enough to, and you're confident enough in what you're sending, some, like you're saying, you trust then that even if they say no, that's the best thing because this is what, this is what
right.
My needs. And if you say no, cool, I won't get it. That's fine.
It'll come. I feel like this is such a good attitude for people to just hear because this is where the piece about becoming a spiritual business owner comes in. It's like, having these systems, really trusting the process, knowing that you're standing in your zone of genius, then you can allow the right clients to come to you and then release those that don't say yes. And it becomes a lot more effortless and there's less like desperation or clinging to the people who may become clients.
That's a thing.
I mean, I want to insert some astrology here because like you have a strong Saturn and we've talked about this a lot, but your Saturn is with the nodes and there's this quality of like either a franticness or a chaos that can come with having that destabilizing energy around, especially as a planet like Saturn. It's almost like you just have to ground and get really steady and work with that Saturn energy in a really productive way. And what's interesting about your Saturn is in the 11th house, and that is the house of money coming in. It's like a house of surprise and money generation and community, actually. And so it's been the invitation for you to kind of thread that needle. How do I work with this kind of destabilized energy to create more money, to create more community? And so that's why where we started in this container was really with your numbers and getting clear and getting your systems clear, developing SOPs, you know, standards of practice for your business. Working with the Saturn energies, it's a common place for people to start, but it seems to me like through our work together, you really were able to step into that stronger Saturn in your chart.
Yeah, without question. I mean, it's a lot of the... When I realized that I was holding on too strongly to being a technician, right? To actually like doing the work with my hands, that was when the flood of the obviousness of how necessary all those things are really came in. Because it's like, man, I'm forcing a role that doesn't actually serve me or the business or the employees or the people I'm working for. And then very naturally, just that checklist of all the things that I needed to do, which were all of the things that you and I had spoken about within the first like 2 weeks of things that would, you know, potentially benefit me were all right there and glaring. All the systems came really naturally. Like after I recognized that, it came really naturally and inserted themselves pretty effortlessly and quickly. And now, I mean, my employees and I are in different spots in the shop and we get updates on our phone and everything's communicated and everybody, it's just, it's really great. And it's humming right now for sure, which feels nice.
I love that. And we couldn't also escape talking about Mars in your chart. So we're covering the malefics, but you have Mars also on your first house. Both of them are aspecting your first house. Mars is a critical planet for entrepreneurship. You know, if Mars is not well placed or debilitated or something like that, people can struggle. You don't have that problem. Mars in the seventh is actually the best placement possible for an entrepreneur. So what this allows is for you to be an independent thinker and be an action-oriented person. And because you have Moon in the first house, there's also this creativity that comes with that and like how you're going to make that happen. That's also a really good combination for creating wealth. So when I saw that you were like in your Moon period and you're about to transition into Mars, I was like, oh, this is the perfect time for us to work together. You know, when we had our sales call, it was like, okay, this is, you're like being set up to step into this next layer of experience with Mars. And so all this kind of groundwork around Saturn has helped to set you up to really step into this Mars period and experience the karma of receiving and having a better time in your work.
Right.
Does that feel true?
100%. Yep. 100%. Yeah. That's the easiest way to say it. Especially the last month or so. You know, the last month or so, really, I've just witnessed the things beginning to sprout and things beginning to flower that, you know, because sometimes you do a bunch of things, you don't necessarily see the fruit of it right away. You know, you don't realize that because I'm so overwhelmed and the work is the thing that is on my mind that I'm thinking I have to get done, you don't want to turn your head to do the other foundational aspects of actually building the business. So to do all of those things without necessarily seeing the fruit of it was the task. That was the task for sure. But then the second that they were done, the larger opportunities started to come and the bigger hitters started to come and the larger orders started to come and newer companies started to come. And it just all these things began to open and there was a foundation to receive all that and to communicate clearly and to answer better questions and all of that.
One thing I also wanted to talk about in this conversation is, and I really wanted to, you know, what one thing we really worked on was credibility, like you actually recognizing how unique your process, your brain trust, your, you know, intellectual property around this, like all of those pieces. So maybe you can talk a little bit about that and like how you can even talk about how you are unique in the industry and share some of that.
Yeah, I think what was hard about finding credibility in myself was not trusting the ease, I think, because I've always been able to do things with my hands. There was very little learning curve with that. Like you said, I've always been able to, I'm very visual, so I can see things done in my head and can just allow what I'm working with to catch up to the image in my head. Right. And it's always been that way. I've never even recognized until we were working together that was something that
was unique.
It wasn't just because I see everything that way. Being grateful for that, for one, being like, well, this is a skill. This is a unique thing that I can do. And trusting that. In trusting it, then the credibility was able to be seen. I could actually see that, well, this is something that you can bring to your business and you can bring to whatever it is that you're doing. And it's beneficial for everyone else that's involved. And that was cool. That was cool. Because then the freedom to do it is now like dogs off the leash kind of thing. Again, the conversations get higher stakes and the people I'm working with and speaking to are heavy hitters and all of, as that self-trust began to grow, then the larger opportunities came very timely, you know, right at the same time.
I mean, I want to kind of toot your horn a little bit because I think you are unique in the industry. One thing that we talked about a lot is like how focused on safety you are and like how sometimes people are wiring vans in a way that they could like catch on fire. And so you're very focused on that. And then also the custom unique solutions that you came up with. And you actually like started a shop on your site and were just selling those specific solutions. So maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Another reason that credibility was tough, I'll just tie into it, is because of the nature of our industry. What I'm doing with the vans really took off. There's some backstory to it with like Volkswagen Westphalia, as they've been around for a long time. But really integrating an off-grid camper into a blank van is a relatively new thing in the way that it's happening now. So no one really had any idea what they were doing. Like the first couple that I built, I was like, this sounds right. This looks good. And not really sure, because there's no standard. You know, there's no organization that's standardizing anything in how you put a camper into a van. So there's a lot of being a lot of room to trust yourself when it came to that, because the way that I would see things done, like, yeah, that's good. That is a standardizable practice, you know? And then what very quickly, a lot of people turned into as big of a business as they possibly could. So they tried to replicate people like Winnebago, 3 or 4 plans, and they just pump them out as quick as they can, which had a bit of a higher margin for error, but also lower on the caliber of like the quality scale was lower. And yeah, there's only 4 of us left in the state right now that are actually doing custom, like you said, bespoke vans. I'm working with a bunch of different window companies right now. And really I'm the only one in the industry that has solved a couple of these issues, which is translating materials from the industry of campers and RVs into the van industry. Cause there's no hardware. There's no, you know, rooftop air conditioner or a heater or a window or anything like this that's made specifically for the vans, because people just started building them in tin cans. The ways that all of those materials are made in their factories and by their manufacturers are for the much larger industry of RVs and campers, right? Like the box campers, the pull behind campers. So there's a lot of ways that it was difficult to integrate all of that into building a van. I'm really lucky to have a couple different pieces of technology in my shop, like a CNC machine and a ProLiner, where I can really dial in that process. And like you said, I'm now offering a bunch of that on my shop and supporting a lot of custom builders, as well as people that are building their own vans across the country as of like a few months ago on 3 continents. So that's pretty cool.
Something else I wanted to ask you, and this kind of dovetails into that. What are some of the common misconceptions that people have about van life? And like, what would you say to someone who may be listening, who wants to move their life into a van? What do they need to know?
Yeah. Don't trust Instagram. That's been my first suggestion. It glorifies it to a huge degree. And there are amazing parts of it. But I've never met anyone that has gotten a van, built it with their budget they had in mind in the time frame that they created for themselves. So I think people think that because it's a smaller space, that it'll be easier or faster. And it's the opposite, because you're in a space that's not made for what it is that you're trying to accomplish. So, and you can't make the walls bigger. You can't straighten them out. You know, they're set, and you're dealing with some pretty intensive, especially with the electrical systems and hooking into gas tanks in order to get hot water and hot air in the van. Like there are high consequences if you don't do it right. And sometimes YouTube and Instagram can be a little misleading, just in saying that, yeah, you just hook this wire to here and drop the gas tank and do this. And so don't be afraid to ask for help for those things, I'd say, and do your research on that. But you know, don't think that because it's smaller and that because a lot of people are doing it, that it's easier.
Well, do you live in a van? I guess we should ask.
I do not. Yeah, I have 2 children. So the van life is out for me. I lived in the back of my truck for a few years with my dog. So a van is like a mansion when it comes to
a mansion.
Mobile space, you know. But yeah, it is. It's a great opportunity for people to experience freedom in their life, especially the way that a lot of people are working remotely these days. It's become really popular. So people get to go be an accountant on a beachside, you know, and they get to go be financial advisors on tops of mountains and stuff. And it's a cool thing to provide for people.
100%. Like if I hadn't found this farm and met my husband, I probably would have been a van life person for sure. Cause I don't need that much space, but my dream was to have a farm. So I had to do that, that first, but I love the idea of being able to move around and having a nice cozy space where, you know, you're able to make your hipster coffee and have your compost toilet and all that.
Yeah. Your Instagram selfies every day. That's it.
What would you say to somebody who's like thinking about working with me about your experience and like how working together helped you better understand yourself through your chart, you know, how it helped you? I mean, we've been talking about this throughout, but like, what would you say to that person?
First thing is don't be afraid to be confronted. Receive that as a really important part of the process, because the first thing that the main thing that you recognize is you're creating the entire circumstance for yourself. You're creating the entire reality of your business on your own by saying, even as you said, you attract the certain kind of clients, you attract these certain kinds of clients, you, by what you're putting out. So instead of trying to change anything outside of yourself, you have to change how you're attracting and how you're running your business. And that's confronting for sure, but it's very beneficial and it's very empowering at the end of the day. I wouldn't say expect it, but welcome it, you know, welcome that part of it, because it's where the real growth happens. And then it becomes an extension and a support of your well-being. If you're willing to be confronted, then really no bad thing can happen, right? Because everything then becomes an opportunity or an invitation to grow and to make subtle or large changes that will support you in the long run.
Yeah. In your business and your life.
100%.
I mean, I always say that business is a spiritual practice, because it's one of those places where the rubber hits the road. You're going to be confronted with your karmas. You're going to have to do some work to transform. And I, you know, if we can invite that, if we see it as an opportunity for, you know, transformation and growth, yeah, then it's a very powerful vehicle. No pun intended.
Exactly. It's one of those, you know, I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. All I knew is I didn't want a boss anymore. When I started my business, I just didn't want to be limited by what someone else was telling me to do. You know, that was really, at the end of the day, that was it for me. I wanted to be able to spend more time with my children based on what their life was like also, and to not think that my engagement with them was going to be based around someone else's desire for me to support their business. It's like you said, I didn't realize initially how intensely the rubber hits the road when you put your entire livelihood like in your own hands. Really take that responsibility and take that step of, wow, like, okay. It's easy to not see it when there's the consistency of income coming in from someone else, in essence, right? Or from like a consistent job. But taking that step and starting my own business was like, holy smokes, like everything's right here. Like, okay, everything is right here. It happened fast. It was very fast. And like you said, the rubber hits the road and you can hide from it and make it worse, or you can be willing and just get confronted and accept it and grow.
How has it been for you to have your chart, you know, have my insights on your chart and to know a little bit more about that? And how has that helped you in your business?
So the perfect way to say it is actually something that my teacher said in Satsang not long ago, when he said, where is it that we're meant to receive spiritual teachings, right? It's because, and the answer that he gave is in the unknown parts of ourself, right? Because if we can receive those things there, then we're not attempting it to filter through this already existing notion of ourself, and it's much easier to grow into. And having the chart read was direct exposure of that, because all of the certain tendencies that I had, or things that I wasn't quite aware of that I was doing, I wasn't quite aware of why I was behaving this way, were just immediately presented. And it was emotional sometimes. It made me very angry sometimes, you know, it made me really frustrated, but also just insanely necessary to be shown and given insights that you're in essence blind to. And I came to work with you because I recognized that there was something that needed to change and that I wasn't doing it right on my own. And that was incredibly helpful. And again, sometimes frustrating, but that was why I signed up for it.
Yeah. And in retrospect, it it helped.
Very much so. Yeah.
So I have a few rapid fire questions for you. The first one is, what is one piece of advice that has really helped you in your life?
Wake up and carry on with your day.
What is the origin, or who said it?
My teacher said it to me after a day of complaining. After a lot of complaining, the second part of it was, there's nothing you can't do. So just wake up and go about your day.
Do you have a morning routine, and what part, if any, is non-negotiable?
Yeah.
Aside from waking up.
Yeah, right. Right. I keep a temple in my home, so there's puja that happens pretty regularly. And every morning, that's the first place I go when I wake up, is come and sit. And whether there's pranayama or asana that takes place, it's just, you can feel that there's a mental tuning to that, to just recognizing that's where the day begins. And then there's the foundation in yourself to carry on with your day.
My next question is, what are you reading right now? Or are there books that you would recommend that have been really important in your life?
The book that I would say more than any sparked as a catalyst when I was young was Henry David Thoreau's book, Walden. That was just not the same human after reading that. And what I'm reading right now is a collection of Neville Goddard's works, all of his books in one. And it's just one of those books that, like, you read it, you read a paragraph and you have to stop and come back later, because it's just the way that integrates just takes a minute. So I'm really grateful for that.
We'll put a link to those in the show notes. Neville Goddard's Feeling is the Secret is one that I really enjoy. And it's funny that you mentioned Thoreau, because there was a quote of Thoreau when I was a teenager. I would go to this coffee shop, and in the bathroom it said, "Don't sit down to write until you've stood up to live." And I always remembered that quote by Thoreau. It was just like, go live, right? Go, like, embrace life and do things. And that really has informed my life. So cool. How can people connect with you or find out more about your work?
Yeah, we're on Instagram, Satsang Van Works. Website's always there. You can check out our shop on our website and see what we're up to. We have a live chat that's on all day. Yeah, on Instagram. Instagram is probably the best way. We have updates every couple of days about new projects and new things that are happening.
Awesome. We'll share that in the show notes as well. Well, thank you, Michael, for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Cosmic Business Podcast. We hope it was inspiring for you. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave a review for us so other spirit-led entrepreneurs can find out about us. I want to thank Team Podcast for production support on this podcast, as well as the musicians of the music that we're listening to now, Alexis Georgopoulos and Jeffrey Cantu Ledesma from an album Fragments of a Season, which you can check out wherever you listen to music. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I look forward to connecting with you on a future episode.